Hi, I'm Dr. Wambui, and welcome to the Drug Chat. I think that the human body is intricately created, making us one of the most amazing living things on earth. In this podcast, we explore how the body works and then apply the drugs. My hope is that with this knowledge, we become better healthcare providers, whatever field of medicine you may be in, better caregivers to our patients or to ourselves. We do take medicines from time to time, don't we? All right, let's break it down. Hey, podcast listeners. I hope you guys are doing excelente. As we move on to our next class of anticoagulants, which is the last one, direct thrombin inhibitors. Now, just as a recap of why we're even talking about them, remember that there are two types of strokes, ischemic and hemorrhagic. Ischemic stroke, there's a restriction or reduction of blood flow to your brain. Something is blocking the road that takes the blood that has nutrients and oxygen to your brain. And that is a problem because then your brain doesn't have food, it doesn't have oxygen, it will die. And the second type, which is a hemorrhagic stroke, it occurs because an artery in your brain has ruptured or burst. And when this happens, then blood leaks and goes everywhere. And this leakage can also come from an aneurysm, which is when there's a bulge or on a part of your vessel, it has ballooned out. So that part weakens and again, the blood leaks. And this leaked blood puts lots of pressure on the brain cells, damaging them. Not a good thing, all right? So that are strokes. Now, in regards to anticoagulation therapies, studies have shown that use of anticoagulation decreases the risk of ischemic stroke or other embolic events, other clotting events, by over 2/3. So this is important. Remember, this is for the ischemic stroke, not hemorrhagic. Hemorrhagic, I'm already bleeding too much. So that's not what I'm using this for. I am using it to prevent an ischemic stroke. I'm using it to prevent a clot from forming, right? And like I've said, anticoagulation decreases that risk by over 2/3. So this is important, all right? Okay, so today we are talking about direct thrombin inhibitors or DTIs. See how that happens? Yeah. So as the name says, they bind directly to thrombin and inhibit it. They don't need any anti-thrombin like the heparins do to inhibit thrombin. They go straight in for the kill, so to speak. All right. So before we come and start blocking this thrombin, what's happening here? On a normal working day, thrombin is a very, very important player in the making of a clot in your body. It is its principal job. The reason it exists is to convert fibrinogen into fibrin. And fibrin is important because it's that strong mesh in the clot. It's the one that is holding everything together. So if you do not have fibrin, your clot is not being held together well. Okay. So I've talked about the heparins, which inhibit thrombin indirectly because they need antithrombin to be able to do their job, right? To block thrombin. And like I said, these DTIs, they go directly to the thrombin. They do not need any assistant, any cofactor, any association with anybody. They just go in and do their job. Further, they not only inhibit soluble thrombin, you know, that thrombin that's just hanging around, they also inhibit the thrombin that's already attached itself to the fibrin. So this thrombin is already hanging out with fibrin and making that clot strong. Well, this drug goes in and says, yeah, this relationship just needs to end right now, okay? So you'll find DTIs used in prophylaxis, which is prevention, right? And treatment of this thrombosis, this clot. All right. The other thing to remember about heparins, remember with heparins, they were unpredictable because heparins are so friendly, binding with everything besides antithrombin. They will, you know, they love other plasma proteins. And because they're always binding and making friends with other people, they become unpredictable on how much of not clotting is going to happen. Well, DTIs are not as friendly, I guess. They are predictable. They go straight for the thrombin. So you know what a milligram is going to do, as opposed to heparin. You're wondering, all right, will that milligram be used to make friends with other people or to do what the job that I send it for? Okay. So I guess DTIs are not as friendly. All right. So another advantage of using DTIs is that they don't have that immune mediated thrombocytopenia, which remember is a fancy way of saying low platelet count. So therefore, as opposed to heparin that has the heparin-induced thrombocytopenia that is immune-mediated. So that's another advantage of why if I have a patient that has HIT, HIT, then I can switch them to this class, which is a big deal, all right? So who are the players in this class? We're talking about lepirudin, desirudin, bivalirudin, agatroban, and dabigatran, right? All right, so now those ones that are ending with rudin, leperidin, neseridin, bevelridin. Okay, so they are derivatives of something called hirudin. Hirudin, yeah, sounds right, okay? By now, you know how much I'm in awe of our scientists, discoverers of drugs, how they are able to get little nuances about our bodies, how they work, and then they get this other thing, you know? So this is another little nugget. This hirudin is originally isolated from the salivary glands of medicinal leeches. It is one of the most powerful natural anticoagulants. I guess it doesn't get any more organic than that, right? No, but seriously, this scientist, I mean, they're amazing. How did they even figure out that leeches have this thing called hirudin and that it can work to stop clots in our bodies? Totally amazing. So lepirudin and desirudin, I'll first say that these two are recombinantly made, recombinant, which is a fancy way of saying they are made by combining genetic material from two different sources. And further to that, they are renally excreted, and that means that they were going to require a dose reduction for those with renal insufficiencies. Again, going with other advantages of this is that there are no weight-based calculations, there are no routine monitoring that is concerned, that is needed here. All right. Now, bivalirudin is synthetic, right? Because these other ones were recombinant. This one is synthetic, and it binds to thrombin reversibly, and it has a decreased bleeding because it does it reversibly. It has decreased bleeding risk and improved safety profile. Now, this one goes through hepatic metabolism, and only about 20% of it will be renally eliminated. So dose adjustments are necessary for those with moderate renal insufficiency, but contraindicated if you have severe renal impairment. So I'm not expecting that you're going to be giving bivalirudin to end-stage renal disease patients, all right? So those are the rudins, so to speak. So enter agatroban. It is not a rudin. It doesn't come from a leech. Instead, this one is derived from arginine. It's also synthetic. And I remember when agatroban came into the market, when it hit the world. Its biggest advantage, the biggest thing I knew about agatroban is that it can be used in patients that have a history of HIT, hepatic-induced thrombocytopenia, or are at risk of HIT. It is hepatically metabolized and it's excreted by the biliary system, and dose adjustments are necessary for those with hepatic impairment. See how that goes? Yeah. All right. So far, all these DTIs we've talked about are intravenous. And of course, we have to look for a solution for those who don't want to inject themselves. They want an oral solution. Enter the Bigotran. Its advantages, besides being available orally, include that it has a rapid onset of action, and it has nothing to do with the CYP450 enzymes. CYP450 enzyme, remember, is the hepatic. And I'm also hoping that when you hear me say CYP450 enzyme, that what you're hearing is that drug-drug interactions are not an issue. There is no monitoring, and it goes well with food, so no vitamin K issues of food, right? Now, some of the side effects of this class will include heartburn, abdominal pain, diarrhea, bruising, dizziness. But always remember that side effects, after a while, they go away. However, the biggest thing, because remember their work is to make sure that there's no coagulation, their biggest thing is bleeding. Now, there are minor bleeds like nosebleeds, which after a while they go back, we are okay. But then there's the life-threatening bleeds like the intracranial hemorrhage, which is a problem. And I think post-marketing, some of the things that have also been reported is neutropenia, right? So those are the DTIs, direct thrombin inhibitors, and they come out to be the wrap. They're our wrap for the anticoagulants before we moved on to the antiplatelets. So in the anticoagulant section, DTIs are the one that wrap this up for us. Some of the new kids in the block. And I hope now we are ready to move on to the antiplatelets with the next class. All right, bye. Stay inquisitive. I am Dr. Wamboi, and thanks for listening to this episode of The Drug Chat. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and remember to share with your friends. Until next time, stay inquisitive. Bye.